Hello.
Hello, Andrew.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me all right?
Definitely.
Good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm still figuring out this myself.
Well, that went pretty easily. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
I want to talk about War of the Worlds. I want to talk about your work as an author, what we can expect from you in bookstores. Before we dive into that, I just want to just do my own shameless plug, and you can get a Camp Kaiju t-shirt and proceeds support this channel for cool content like this. So enough about me. Andrew, you are an author of science fiction. Is that right? Is that the only thing?
Yeah, mostly. That's all that's been published so far. I've got one book out that came out in 2017, a young adult novel, not Alien Invasion, but sort of a first contact kind of story and like planetary colonization. So, book coming out in 2022 in March. Not aliens, that's post-apocalyptic. It's called The Temps, and it's about a group of temps, office workers, like contract temporary office workers, who get stuck in like a really big office complex while there's like a sort of like a zombie apocalypse type thing happening outside. So it's like, I mean, I call it, at least in terms of the story premise, you know, we sometimes call it, me and my publisher, like Office Space meets Dawn of the Dead. So that's kind of the premise.
Love it.
But, you know, I write crime fiction as well. Just haven't published any of that yet. So the two novels that are either out or coming so far have been science fiction.
Well, those are among my favorite genres to read.
I know. Yeah.
So get your crime novel out there.
I hope to. I'll send it your way. You'll be the first one to read it.
All right. We'll talk later. We'll talk after post show. So as an author, and writing in the genre of science fiction, you know, what are your thoughts on H.G. Wells and this novel? Are you Team Wells or Team Verne?
Well, I've read more Wells than Verne. I haven't read much Wells, but I've certainly read this and I think The Time Machine and maybe one other. Mm-hmm. I read this book when I was young. I was maybe like 12 or something like that. And I really liked it. And I was actually kind of reading the plot summary recently. Mm-hmm. And had forgotten a lot about it. I mean, like a lot of the stuff that's in the Steven Spielberg adaptation was actually in the book, like the red blood weeds, like that was in the book. I had no idea. I just remembered the tripods and like mm-hmm. blowing things up. I mean, it's something that as a kid you really get into. But I'm Team Wells, definitely, in terms of the classic folks. And then, you know, I mean, I've read a lot of the old, like, sort of seminal monster or science fiction text. I think most people say that like Mary Shelley started the whole thing with Frankenstein.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, Bram Stoker's Dracula. So a lot of the old stuff is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I forget about, because I've obviously read Frankenstein and
yeah.
you read like the Wikipedia, like science fiction. It's like Jules Verne and H.G. Wells. But I think we should give more credit to the woman who wrote a science fiction story 200 years ago.
Well, and she wrote an apocalyptic, a post-apocalyptic book about like, the last man on Earth. I think it was actually called The Last Man. I haven't read this one, but like she wrote a couple of science fiction novels actually, that people don't know about, but yeah.
Cool plug for Mary Shelley.
Yeah, there you go. Check her out, everybody. Mary Shelley's great.
I'm with you on War of the Worlds, especially the Spielberg adaptation. So yeah. I got into it also in middle school. I've got my copy right here. I only read this one once because it is a little longer than like The Time Machine. But I always loved it. And but I remember not really gravitating towards the Spielberg movie. Yeah. Like, I saw it in theaters. Someone got me the DVD for Christmas, and I literally forgot I owned it until we started talking about this, you know, doing this conversation.
Interesting.
Yeah. So my bar was really low, actually.
Sure. Yeah.
And I forgot that Spielberg directed it, because in my mind, it's like, oh, it's that Tom Cruise blockbuster. But yeah, I've got some thoughts knowing now that it's a Spielberg movie and where it falls in his canon. But what did you think? Like, what were the good things? What stuck out to you about the movie?
Well, I mean, I watched this in the theater way back when, in 2005. I had been paying a lot of attention to Spielberg back then because he'd been directing some movies that I found interesting. I mean, starting with like AI and Minority Report. Yeah, yes. he was doing some like dark science fiction stuff there in the early aughts. And so I was excited about this and definitely wanted to see it in the theater, like, and went into it thinking like, oh, this is a Spielberg movie. I'm pumped about it. And I think that a lot of it's really great. I mean, I was looking up some rankings of Spielberg films, and some people put it toward the bottom of the list, and some people actually put it toward the top of their list. And I think that that is because it's actually fairly inconsistent. Like, I think that there's a lot of great stuff in the first half. In fact, I think that much of the first half is as good as anything that Spielberg has ever done in any movie. Like, I really do think the dynamic, like the family dynamic between, you know, Tom Cruise as the estranged father and these two kids who, you know, need him but really resent him at the same time.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting dynamic. And then some of like the really cinematic sequences, I think that like the whole thing under the shadow of the bridge, like starting with the scary storm sky.
Yeah.
And kind of ending with the big like initial reveal of the machine coming up from underground.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's like amazing stuff. And then the other one that really sticks out for me is trying to cross the river in that ferry.
Oh my gosh.
just a terrifying scene.
So it's
fantastic.
Yeah, I'm with you. My good for this movie is exactly what you just said. The reveal of the tripod gave me chills. And that was the first time watching it. I went, okay, now you've got my attention. Like,
that's right.
And people being obliterated the way they were. This is like for a longer conversation, but I was considering its place in the early aughts post 9/11. And I was like, this is intense. And then that river scene, I was taking notes and I wrote, this is a stressful movie.
Yeah, it's stressful.
It's way more stressful than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And doing my own research, Spielberg at the time, he'd made E.T. and Close Encounters. And he said he wanted to make a scary alien movie for once.
Yeah.
And I think he was putting some energy into that. It's interesting you like the first half, like with the family dynamics.
Yeah.
I didn't, but I see what you mean. Like, it worked. Like, I get it. Like, there was nothing fundamentally wrong with it. It was just a personal thing where I couldn't believe that Tom Cruise is such a bad communicator with his children.
Yeah. And like, he's legitimately like a bad father in the movie.
Yeah.
And he's a really bad dad. There's even something where it's a subtle thing, but like he's telling his son Robbie to get back in the house, and he does something with his hands at some point that kind of like he does that, which makes you think that like he's threatening like actual violence against his son.
He's hit him or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, he's not a good father.
And I want to be specific because it's fine to have unlikable characters in stories.
For sure.
You want that. I think, and it's totally personal, maybe it's not a fair criticism, but I think Tom Cruise, casting-wise, who I love, typically, he's like a great dramatic actor, but he's also really likable as an actor for me.
You wanna
and like so him. It just kind of was a little jarring to see him play such an asshole.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's hard for me to believe, but I'll go with it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of cringy. I feel like even the scene where he's like making, he's making peanut butter sandwiches for the kids, and he's like, he's trying to be really funny, and he's like, you know, he's like dealing the bread like their cards, and they're just like, Dad, you're a jerk. Like, it's awkward to see him try so hard and to be so bad at it. But that is the Spielberg thing. I mean, I think that's what I like about it, you know, this is the interesting thing about old stories that get adapted and readapted, is that every time they get readapted, they get filtered through a new cultural context, which is kind of what you were talking about with the, with like the post 9/11 context. And you've even got the daughter saying, you know, is it the terrorists? She thinks that it's the terrorists attacking and not aliens.
Yeah.
But then you've also got Spielberg bringing his concerns to the table, and Close Encounters and E.T., which you mentioned, both have like absent fathers or fathers abandoning their children. And it's like, it's just a concern that comes through in a lot of his work. I mean, I think it's an interesting dynamic in the movie. And it, for me, once Robbie leaves, you know, there's these three people. He's always saving the kids, but every time he saves them, eventually like they might hug him or something like that, but then they'll go to each other.
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, he'll literally be like visually isolated from them. So that's like a thing that Spielberg is doing over and over again, which is like, he's trying so hard and he's literally saving the kids from dying, but they still don't trust him.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the dynamic of the first half of the film. Then Robbie leaves, and then they go, instead of like the third character who kind of replaces Robbie is this like kind of crazy guy played by Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
And that for me is the moment that the movie goes like decisively south. I don't think that very much in that basement, in that like basement cellar with Tim Robbins works very much at all.
The movie just kind of settles.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, literally they have settled into a basement.
Into a basement.
Which keeps, it keeps the halting of that action. Like the action, the physical action has stopped. The story has stopped. A lot of stuff's happening outside the windows.
It is.
But I don't think, I don't think it's, maybe there's an effective way to still keep it compelling. But well, I think it's lacking too. Yeah.
It gets a little confused or something. I don't love the Tim Robbins performance. Like the accent that he's doing is a little bit strange. I don't totally know what his deal is. Like he seems to have some theories about like what's going on that don't really add up. And I mean, just cinematically, like Spielberg is such a cinematic director. Like he's always telling the story visually. And I just think that once they get into that basement, things are a little bit less interesting visually. And they do kind of, it's kind of like a repeat of that scene from Jurassic Park where they're hiding from the rafters in the kitchen.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
They do that, but they kind of, it's not as good as the Jurassic Park scene. And they kind of do it twice. They do it with kind of this, like, the aliens send this sort of periscope thing and they're hiding from the periscope. And then that leaves and you breathe a sigh of relief. But then some actual aliens come in.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, now we're doing the same scene
right
again, and it just kind of feels redundant.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you know, this is Camp Kaiju. I think that one of the more damning things about this movie is that the design of the aliens is not that scary to me.
Well,
I'm interested in your opinion.
No, like, I thought about that too. Because it really struck me that they have very, like, they have big eyes and they have round faces and they look really friendly, actually.
They kind of look cute, actually.
Yeah.
In some ways.
And I don't know. That kind of, I kind of liked messing with our expectations in that way. Like, these things will actually, they want to eat you. Like, they're terrifying monsters, but they look cute.
But they look kind of cute. Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, actually. Maybe I should give him a little bit more of a pass. I was kind of uninspired, but but maybe it's actually not so bad.
I don't know. I think in that way, with the alien design, Spielberg's harkening back to maybe like a more 50s version of what a Martian is like. They have like big fingers and they have big faces. And I kind of like that, tapping back into our preconceived notions of what a Martian is, rather than giving us something new like the monsters in A Quiet Place or something really weirdly terrifying.
Well, and like Independence Day, which you've seen, I feel like Independence Day drew a lot from like the H.R. Giger design of the aliens in like the Alien movies.
Yeah, and I feel like that, like,
these are different than that.
Yeah, so. I feel like the alien design from Alien, I feel like I see that a lot in contemporary alien movies.
Yeah,
like Independence Day and A Quiet Place, they have big arms and
huge head.
I wanted a throwback alien.
So this kind of met your expectations for monsters.
Yeah, but for a over 100-year-old story.
Yeah,
it's kind of what I wanted.
Well, and then the other thing that always kind of throws me about the middle to the end of the movie is that you start to get actual speculation about what the aliens want, and you get this thing where they're harvesting humans for their blood to create like weird plants. And it just kind of, it doesn't make sense, because like they're vaporizing humans. If they're coming to harvest our blood, why are they killing people? It's visually compelling. The red like veiny weeds are just like so disgusting.
Yeah.
And amazing. But it never made sense to me. But then I looked it up, and it's like, it's in the movie. I always thought that, or it's in the original book. And I always thought that that was something that some screenwriter brought to the thing. But no, it's original. I had no idea.
Yeah, me neither. And honestly, it just makes me realize I should reread the book. And I really want to now. I mean,
yeah,
I've got a dozen other books I want to read, including your own. I want to read The Exo Project.
Thank you.
Got it right back there somewhere. Actually,
Me versus Wells. I won't
Well, alphabetically, you're next to Philip K. Dick. So
that's pretty good.
I feel like it's a good combo there.
I'll accept that. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, one more thing. Let's just indulge ourselves really quick. One good thing I liked about it towards like the middle to the end. Oh, the battle, the ridge where Robbie goes running off.
Yeah, that's great.
I thought, whoa, it all makes sense. It's a war of the worlds, and Spielberg is tapping into his Saving Private Ryan experience. Yeah. It felt very like a war movie. And with all the crowds of people, they felt like refugees moving through camps. You know, and I was like, okay, this is, Spielberg knows what he's doing here, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, and it's definitely like all the feelings, all the like post 9/11 feelings, even like Katrina a little bit, you know, people becoming refugees. Like there's a lot of stuff going on in there, and a lot of stuff that I feel like Spielberg was processing from recent history.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what do you think? Do you think this is going to be a modern classic, or do you think we won't be talking about this in 10, 20 years?
I think that it will be talked about as kind of like an oddity of Spielberg's body of work. I think that people will talk about it because I specifically think that that sequence of movies that we talked about, AI, Minority Report, and then this one, they're darker than his usual thing. It's hard to know where to fit the movies. Like there are people who say like AI is my favorite, you know, of the Spielberg movies. And I feel like people are going to be making arguments like that about this one. Like it's too weird and compelling to ignore as in his body of work. That's my feeling.
I can agree with that. I'm going to call it, as far as Spielberg's canon, it's an underrated classic.
I think that's true.
I think people should give it a second look, for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. This was great. This is a really fun story to nerd out on. And we didn't even touch the radio drama. There's a 50s version. There's a TV show out right now, which I only just discovered.
Me too. Yeah.
So much. But let's just start with reading it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. See you around, Andrew. Thanks a lot. So
bye. Yep. Bye-bye.
Wow. Thank you all for hanging out with Andrew and I as we discussed Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds. And just want to give you a quick reminder, engage with Camp Kaiju, buy a t-shirt, but most importantly, engage with Andrew. You can find his handle in the down below, and buy, pre-order his book, The Temps, buy The Exo Project, and have yourself a good time reading some fun science fiction or post-apocalyptic Dawn of the Dead stuff. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. See ya.